Tales from the Fairlands presents Arrivals and Departures by Caledonia Sky Tower in memory of Richard. Arrivals and Departures.
She was enraptured with the light. Luminous panels of jewel-like iridescence everywhere. Violet, emerald, gold that beckoned and warmed. She pulled her hand back, stopping herself, from a crystal that she had unconsciously reached for. It could not really be polite to start handling things the very moment you arrived, but why was she here? The message had come to her on a very worn piece of ivory paper, soft from much handling. It was folded carefully in four with its message scrawled in blue ink, "Come now," followed by this address. Her heels clacked on the lucent stairs as she climbed into erstwhile station. The lounge was as vibrant as the landing, yet framed by the subdued dark wood of the main structure. Chairs, richly upholstered and comfortably warm, dotted the room, which was about half full of people standing or sitting. Everywhere, the elegant contrast of dark wood and the luminous glass guided the eyes. Her eyes fell on a familiar pair of brown ones that lit up with recognition, though she had not seen them in a very long time.
He stood up. "I knew you'd come."
She stepped around the line of people streaming into the room from the ramp marked Arrivals and smiled as she took his proffered hand and shook it. "I'm a little surprised that you sent for me," she admitted. They had only known each other the briefest of times, though she had been aware of him and his work for ages before.
"Surprised? No, you are just the person I need right now." They sat together. He poured her a cup of tea, offered a croissant, and sat back with a look of satisfaction on his face.
She ripped her roll in half, took a bite, sipped the tea, and waited.
They just sat there, convivial and silent for a time.
People came and went, the sounds of their comings and goings softened by the carpets and paving stones worn by the passage of millions of feet.
He finally cleared his throat, speaking softly. "I'm sure you're wondering why I sent for you. I admit, it's just nice to be here and not be alone."
She looked at him intently. She couldn't imagine this man ever being concerned about being alone. Always so charming, talented, affable. Surely he had no lack of friends or companions. Still, she had no idea why he had summoned her in particular, a mere acquaintance. Little more than the people who came and went from the lounge, whom he had greeted with a nod and a courteous smile as they recognized him.
He leaned closer. "I received the order. My departure. It's my time."
She had no idea what he meant. That must have showed clearly on her face, for he smiled, that brilliant smile of his.
"You don't need to understand right now. It's enough that you're here. That's what's important. To me, at least." He sat back and sighed deeply, clearing his throat again. "If I didn't believe that you would eventually understand, I wouldn't have asked for you."
She contented herself with looking around and studying the faces still streaming from the arrival ramp. They looked about, as she had, absorbing the light, the vibrant colors easily led by the patch of sky to the stairs and the outside. His head turned abruptly, and her attention snapped back to him as he listened intently.
Did you hear that?
She had heard nothing and said so.
It's time, he replied, and rose from his chair. His usual confidence was shrouded for a moment in a veil of apprehension. He looked tired. Come with me, please. He reached his hand out, beseeching, don't let me go through this alone. She took his hand and they stepped onto the ramp marked Departures, ascending the spiral around and around, their feet making the slightest of scuffing noises on the dark wood. Attaining the top, they saw ships, a whole fleet of them arrayed around a great O of a dock area.
Well now, this made a lot more sense. He had flown a vast array of vessels in his time, and surely he had been recruited to lend his years of experience to this flight group. She moved toward the ships, letting go of his hand. I've never seen this model before. She looked back at him for the briefest moment before returning her attention to the ships, their engines purring softly like a mechanical chorus of contented cats. They look a little antique, but there sure are a lot of them. Have you flown one of these before?
He reached for her hand again, taking it firmly and pulling her in a different direction. No, this fleet is not for me. I'm destined for a different departure. Now, don't be afraid.
Afraid? What? The thought barely achieved speech when he began to float, pulling her with him. They flew up, up over the deck railing. The sensation was alarming.
But he smiled at her, reassuring. It's okay. It's going to be all right. They sailed through the air and up to the high tower in the center of the circle created by the docks, landing gently on the top, where a great beam of light shot up towards the heavens.
An attendant stepped forward, discreetly dressed to blend in with the building's darker aspect. This one's not called, not their time. He never let go of her hand.
I know. My friend is only here to keep me company till my departure. He smiled confidently at the attendant, and she saw once more that part of him that was hero and leader. He didn't need to shout, order, or threaten to command. He had always achieved wonders, inspired loyalty with the confident earnestness of his sincerity. When he said, "It will be all right," people believed him, and it was.
She pulled him away from the attendant, who backed into the shadows. Departure? What departure? What does this mean?
His face seemed even more worn by time and care as he said, It's time for me to leave.
Right, I get that, but...
No, it's time for me to leave.
But... She stammered and then stopped, as the reality of his words finally came into focus. No, she said.
He smiled patiently.
No, you can't. It can't be your time. The emotion began to rise in her and she clutched at both his hands as if somehow the strength of her will could hold him there, keep him fast and secure in a reality she could comprehend.
He tightened his grip on hers with equal intensity. Listen to me. There is something I need you to do for me, something you must promise me before I depart.
But you can't.
Listen to me. He shook her and locked his eyes on hers before continuing in a quieter voice that was no less imperative. I have been a storyteller all my life. It was my profession to play characters, tell tales of all kinds, large epics, intimate moments of drama. Telling stories was important to me, genuine stories that came from deep inside, that inspired people to dream and imagine. He paused, his former ease returning for a moment. I was pretty good at it, too.
Hoping this moment was passing, she relaxed a bit. Yes, You were very good. You cared.
I still care. He tightened his grip once more, all earnestness again. You care about stories too, passionately. I know we only met and worked briefly, but I saw it right away. You care about the stories and the importance of telling stories.
She nodded, confused.
I cannot tell stories in this reality anymore. It's time for me to depart. And since I can no longer tell the stories that matter, those genuine stories from inside the human heart and soul, you must tell them for me.
How? What? Her grief at his departure was now in equal measure to the weight of responsibility she felt in what he asked. Both were threatening to choke her.
He smiled again, squeezing her hands encouragingly. You don't need to do anything different than you're doing right now. Just promise me. Promise that you'll never stop. Not until it's your time to stand here and make your final departure. Do you understand?
She was dizzy and numb and struggling for words. Yes, I think I do.
And when the order comes, when it's your time, you must pass this responsibility on to another, because our ultimate salvation, all of ours, will only be found somewhere through our stories. Will you promise me? Will you tell the stories I will not, and the stories that you must?
She smiled bravely, unable to deny him anything in this moment. I will. I promise. And when my time comes, I will pass this commitment along to another. You can depend on me. In that moment, she watched the years wash away from him like morning light sweeping across the field of new grass. Only his eyes and his smile remained exactly as they were, exactly as they had always been.
I knew I could. That's why I sent for you.
He took a deep breath. It seemed to her that he stood a little taller, held himself with the same strength he had shown when he had first come into her knowing all those years ago.
Thank you, he said. Thank you for coming when I called, for walking this last path with me, and for accepting this commitment.
I am honored, was the only reply she could manage.
His eyes flashed with a certain excitement. It's a new adventure for me, you know. I love adventures.
You'll be in command in no time, my captain.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe this time I'll be what I've always been, just a soldier, just a teller of tales.
Never just. Not to me. Not to anyone who has ever met you.
He flushed with the beguiling humility she remembered from his youth, dropping his chin and looking up at her with brown eyes dancing. That makes one more thing I have to thank you for.
With a final squeeze, he released her hands and turned to the attendant, handing him a small slip made from the same paper as the note he had sent her.
It's my time, he said simply, turning to give her one final stellar smile before he stepped into the bright beam of light that shot up from the tower and faded into infinity.
Arrivals and Departures by Caledonia Skytower was read by Caledonia Skytower and Elric Merlin, with music by Paul Mottram. The programme was produced by Elric Merlin and was a Fantasy Fair Radio production.